A lot of positive signs tonight. We mentioned when we started the show that Chris Webber was here today. He's going to be here tonight. The Kings are playing the Suns, of course. When Chris Webber was with the Kings beat a playoff team. They won a playoff series, that is, for the first time in Sacramento history when Chris Webber's Kings beat the Suns. So that's a good omen. Then we just had Isaiah Thomas on. Thank you, Isaiah Thomas, for joining us. Thank you, Drapes, for going down there and lining that up. I know Jay has been working on that. RJ helped us set it up. Yeah.
Thank you, fellas. Yeah. I'm glad it worked out. Can you imagine if he said no? I would never be able to live that down my entire career. Like,
for a minute, I thought he did.
Did you really?
Well, for a second, it didn't look like it was going to
the body language didn't look
good. Yeah. And I could understand if he's out there shooting. I could see how he might say, I can't do it now.
Right. That's why I waited until afterwards. That's what you got to do. And especially because he's an early guy like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he going to go get a massage right now or something. But he had time. You know, he chopped it up with High Flyer, chopped it up with Miguel down there. So, yeah, man, I'm glad he did that.
Steven Torres on the chat says, y'all made my day getting IT on. That was awesome. Now let's get a big win tonight.
Yeah.
Light the beam.
It's a big one, man. This is it, man. This is the difference between 7-8 and 9-10, basically. This is it. Because, you know, if you're Sacramento, and I know Portland is coming in shorthanded, nothing to play for, you got to think you'll win that game. You win this one, you're now within a game of Phoenix, and they have a tough game against Minnesota left. Minnesota's still playing for the number one seed in the Western Conference, or at least the top two seed. And so, you got to handle your business tonight.
It would be nice, wouldn't it, to head into the playoffs with some apparent momentum. I mean, if you win your last two and you finish seventh, or even if you finish eighth, I think it would brighten the mood around here. Because right now, everything, it seems like everybody is thinking, oh, I mean, Carmichael Dave, like we said, they can't win a game. I wish this was over.
The momentum, man, it can shift tonight. You know, get a big win against a hungry Phoenix team. And so I understand everybody's down about last night. You know what the problem, why everybody's down, Whitey, is every big game, it seems like we come up short. Must win. Dallas, must win. Can't get it done. And, you know, going to Boston, up one, can't get it done. Knicks, can't get it done. And so you need one of those big psychological feel-good wins. And real quick, no Chimezie Metu. He's not on Phoenix anymore. Where'd he go? Washington, I think?
I don't know. It's like the third time I've done that this year.
I know, right? It's like, and I fall for it every time. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go get him. And oh, yeah, he's not on there anymore. Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
Oh, well, I thought it was encouraging last night. I'm not making excuses. You know, you lose at home like that, a huge game, come out a little flat. Pistons, thank you. And you're trailing 31-11. But I thought the way the Kings ran their offense and made shots last night, I thought that was a positive sign.
Oh yeah, the offensively they were great. You know, they shared the ball. You mentioned earlier the shot distribution.
Yeah,
you know, everybody got good looks at it. Davion coming off the bench playing extremely well, playing 27 minutes or so, and so the offense wasn't the problem. It was they weren't able to get stops and slow down the Pelicans. Pelicans scored 30 or more points in every single quarter. You're not going to win many games giving that up.
Right.
If your defense is just letting teams score 30 to 40 every quarter.
I thought this was a positive, too, for the Kings. You know how they've been shooting threes, like threes.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't make many threes. No, that's because we got to shoot more threes. Last night, points in the paint, they outscored the Pelicans 54-46. Again, I realize it didn't much matter last night, but it showed that the offense, they did find some of that diversification that we have all been shouting they needed to find.
Yeah, how about this? 41 points in the paint attempts in the paint, 38 three attempts.
Yeah.
So I always want more paint attempts than three attempts, and that didn't happen the other night against OKC when they took 58 threes. And so, yeah, a little more balance yesterday. And if you do the math too, Whitey, this is what's very interesting about the Kings' shot distribution. Add up 41 and 38, that's 79. They took 84 shots, so they only took 5 mid-range shots.
Mm.
Shots outside of the paint, but inside the three. And so that's, as a team, that's what you want, right?
Yeah.
As a program.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, James. Delivery of the popcorn of the day. Appreciate that. What's up, Tim? What's going on, man? How you been, baby? Must win tonight. Must win for both teams, man. Loser is looking at 9-10, maybe.
Tell Tim jump on. Tim Kempton.
Tim, you want to jump on? Coach, you got a minute?
Of course I do.
Former NBA star. Suns.
Well, we're stretching that a little bit.
Using that loosely.
I appreciate it.
What's life like been? Life been like lately? You know, as you battle for, you know, the sixth seed and up and down and.
You just said it, up and down. We go to the arena every night, and we don't know which Phoenix Sun team is going to show up. The good
you guys
team,
too, huh?
Yeah.
Tom Chambers was just telling us. Yeah, exactly,
you know, sometimes they're really good. You know, we've got a number when they got 30-plus assists. They're, I think the number's 21-4 now. Mm. But and the turnovers are way low when they obviously when they have 30 assists. But when not, you know, it goes right up to 16, 17 turnovers a game, giving up, you know, 27, 28 points a game. That's just too many easy buckets for the other team, because a lot of times they're those live ball turnovers, guys going down the other end and putting a layup in. Mm-hmm.
What stands out to you about the matchups, the games they've had so far between these two teams, and how does it apply tonight?
I don't think much applies to, unfortunately, you guys are shorthanded more than us. I mean, Malik Monk and Kevin Huerta being out of the lineup, that's huge. You know, it's amazing that they've done what they've done with those guys out of the lineup because of the roles those two players had. So, for us, it's a matter of coming in here and playing against ourselves. When I say that, the Suns playing against themselves and not giving those easy turnovers, taking care of the ball, making the most of opportunities, and don't go into that isolation game. Keep the ball moving.
Tim Kempty joining us. Tim, you know, I read recently that there's been sort of a shift with you guys, more Bradley Beal on the point. Is that being overstated, or have you noticed that, and how has that impacted you guys?
Not at all. I love when Bradley Beal and the other one who's really played extremely well this season, although he hasn't shot the ball well as of late, is Grayson Allen. When those two guys handle the ball, that means that Kevin and Devin are running off picks, catching the ball. Now they're already on the move. The defense isn't set up against them, and they're either catching and shooting in their sweet spots, or they're catching and attacking and getting better shots. Where the Suns have been really bad this year is at the top of the key, you know, mid-court, that high pick and roll. Everybody's double-teaming Devin and Kevin on that, and that just jams up our offense and slows it down, and the ball doesn't move. So Bradley Beal's been phenomenal with the ball. So is Grayson Allen. And when that happens within the game, that work, it looks better. It works better for the Suns.
Yeah, Tim Kempton, nice enough to join us, Suns analyst, former NBA player. A lot of people preseason looked at the Suns and said, they don't have a point guard. You were just kind of talking about the distribution. How have they dealt with that? Is Devin Booker the de facto point guard? Or in today's NBA, do you really need a point guard anymore?
Yeah, it's a great question because of what all the things we just said. Sometimes it looks really good, and sometimes it looks terrible. It's been frustrating because you know the talent's there. I mean, you look at those guys, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker,
good.
Bradley Beal, you're like, wow, that's pretty good. But then again, it's the same thing. How do you get into your offense? Where are the points coming from? How is the movement in the half court because of it? And again, when those guys aren't handling it, so I hope Devin's not the de facto point guard. You know, fine, if you're bringing it up in transition, I have no problem with that with anybody. But when you do get in that situation after a made bucket, you know, late in the game and you're walking it up, get it in Bradley's hands. Get it in Grayson's Allen's hand. Get Devin and Kevin working off those baseline screens, getting into that mid-range area where they just catch and shoot and finish.
Tim, you guys signed Isaiah Thomas for the rest of the season. Obviously, we love him up here. What do you think Frank and the staff saw in IT that made them want to keep him around past the 10 days?
Well, I tell you this. I don't know if it's a common thread with all point guards, but they seem to like to talk.
Okay. All right.
and you know as well as I do, Isaiah Thomas has basketball IQ. And if you watch tonight during the game, you'll see him up and talking to guys as they're coming into transition, if they're coming back on defense or if he notices something, constantly talking. So I think it's a little bit of his leadership, a little bit of his basketball IQ, and just his, you know, his veteran atmosphere on the bench at this point in the season.
Tim, I know this is kind of a cliche question. Can you speak to how the Suns have figured it out with three big stars? I noticed Bradley Beal, you know, his shots per game is a little lower than the other two. Obviously, there's egos involved, there's expectations. To this point, how have the Suns figured that out between the three big stars and how they're going to figure out who gets the offense?
Yeah, well, I think they've figured it out. As you mentioned, Bradley Beal, I think, for the most part, has taken a back seat almost too much. If you noticed over the last week or so, you'll see his shots have been up and he's been more aggressive. What Bradley's been doing is waiting to the second half. He's kind of, you know, letting Devin and Kevin get there as early.
He's only like 14 shots a game or something for the
exactly.
season. Exactly. Surprised me.
Yeah. But and then he'd come on late. You know, he'd see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then while the defense has been focused on Devin and Kevin late in the game, that's when he takes over. But as of late, about the last week, he's been much more aggressive to start the games. And for them, I think those guys are figuring out, okay, he's hot. No, he's hot tonight. Mm-hmm. So let him go while he's hot, and we'll just fill in other spots. And that goes, you know, to Devin, Kevin, and Bradley, those guys understanding that they'll have to sacrifice something. And it's just a matter of how the game's going, who the opponent is, what the matchup is.
Mm-hmm. I see a Bol Bol coming out there. He's been a revelation
for you guys
lately here, huh?
Yeah, he sure has on both ends of the court. He may not be high on the block shot category, but I'll tell you what, when you see him night in and night out, he changes a lot of baskets, you know, underneath there. He gets a little bit beat, you know, because he plays smaller with some of the little guys he has to guard, but he always catches up from behind because of that length. He's been great shooting the ball from the three-point line, and he helps out rebounding. He definitely has made the most of his minutes, that's for sure.
Are there ways, Tim, in which you'd say the Suns have improved since the beginning of the year? And I know they have so many new parts and pieces. It takes a while to figure these things out. Are there ways in which you could say, well, they've definitely improved since the start of the season?
That's a great question.
Ooh, yeah.
That is a great question because of what we started off the conversation with of how inconsistent they've been. You know, if they were just more consistent of doing one, like I said, when they pass the ball and move it, 30-plus assists, they're 21-4. So in that area, when they do it, they're
so
really
good. You
see
it, but just flashes
exactly,
up.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, Tim Kemp to join us. Tim, switching gears just to your playing career. Nowadays, we see bigs out there stretching the floor, shooting threes, you know, that as a big coming up. Did you want to do that in the day?
No, it was totally different. The game was different. The way you were coached was different. I never had any inclination to go out there. It was always, you know, working on your jump hooks, your face the basket, little shots off the glass there, getting in position. Like they say, everybody calls it the dunker position.
Spot now,
you know, get in a spot where you can catch and finish quick.
Yep.
Yeah, so totally different the way the game was laid out and how it was coached and how you played from that position for sure.
Would you say Domas is in some ways a throwback, and in any ways does he remind you of his dad?
It's kind of funny. I've got a picture on my phone I'll show you.
Really?
That I was in Limoges, France, a very good team in France. I was playing his dad, who was with Real Madrid in the European Cup game.
Uh-huh.
So kind of crazy. But he definitely is a little bit of a throwback. Obviously, he can shoot it. You guys know that. But he likes staying around the basket. He likes finishing. He's a big, physical, strong guy. He rebounds the ball extremely well. The one thing that you see in his dad a lot is that passing. His dad was a little bit more flashy as a passer, but Domantas as well, very good passer, great basketball IQ.
People say that we have no idea over here how good his dad was.
Oh, in his prime?
At the end of his career.
Yeah, in his prime, and I was fortunate enough when I first came in, I went back and forth between Europe and the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I saw a lot of his dad in Europe, and it was unbelievable the stuff that he was doing in his prime, and just his athleticism and his size. Everybody talks about Wilt. Everybody, you know, they ask me, okay, what matchup would you have liked to seen, you know, Oscar against LeBron or Michael? I said, Sabonis against Wilt.
Wow. Get out of here, Tim. Really?
Dude, could you imagine those two? I mean,
behemoths.
Behemoths that were just super athletic.
Right.
They're just unbelievable.
Pretty strong, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Tim, before we let you get out of here, gauge the mood of your team right now. You guys have been, and you talked about it, up and down, Jekyll and Hyde. You lose to an undermanned Clippers team, but then come back and get them and beat them. Like, where's the mood of this team, would you say, right now?
Well, I think it's in a good place right now because they can still control their own destiny. Win tonight, you know, obviously we win the tiebreaker with you. We go up on three games with you. So that's okay. Check one team off behind us. So it's in that positive mode of, hey, let's go out there, take care of our business. We don't have to worry about anybody else about where we stand.
Yeah.
How challenging has Frank Vogel's job been this year?
Oh, unbelievable. Oh, you know, because you start is kind of what Mike Brown is going through now. You know, Frank had that in the beginning of the season. At one point, you know, we were like at 60 games or something, and the three of them had played a total of 9 games together.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have these expectations of having this lineup, and then it's not there. So every given night, you have to create a lineup. Now you have to change your rotation coming off behind it, who's available. So it's been a job. Frank's really had to work this year.
I guess I do want to say one quick question.
Sure.
Before I let you go, Tim, because, you know, Royce O'Neal, you know, we were talking about him earlier and how – the Kings didn't do anything at the deadline.
Yes.
You guys made some moves. How have those panned out for you, bringing in a Royce, bringing in a Thad Young or somebody like that?
Well, obviously Royce is the biggest example of it because he's got the most playing time, and he's been phenomenal. Adding another shooter, his defense is really underrated. If you talk to guys that played against him, he's one of those guys that's like, man, that dude's country strong. You run into him,
right,
and it's a different feeling.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's interesting. And obviously his three-point shooting. Thad has been phenomenal in spots. He's had a couple of games where he's come in and really done exactly what everybody thinks, Swiss Army knife.
Right.
You know, he plays so many positions well. He's been really good at the backup five position for the Suns, just changing it up because his quickness and mobility, he does a real good job on that high pick and roll, doesn't let the guard turn the corner. And everybody runs the play.
Yeah.
But with his mobility and length, he gets out there, he stops it, but still has the quickness to get back to the big that just rolled to the basket. So both guys have been phenomenal in their moments. Royce O'Neal has gotten a lot more minutes than Thad. But Thad's been great in the times that he's been on the floor.
And Tim Kempton, do you appreciate the way the officials now seem to be allowing?
Oh, this is a joke.
Yeah.
Is it too much physicality, or do you like it? What do you
think? No, here's why I don't like it. Because they've taken it to a point, you know this, both of you guys know this, players adjust on a dime.
Right.
So the players know they're not getting any whistles. So they've taken it to the next level.
Right.
So the players have become so physical that it's not even basketball.
I said that same thing earlier.
Yeah. It doesn't
it's gone
even resemble.
Too far.
Exactly.
Right.
And you were a very physical player, right?
Exactly.
So you understand.
Yeah. But it was a different physicality.
Sure.
Because you and I, we have the advantage of having these monitors right in front of us and see play after play where it's like, he got ripped. He grabbed his arm. He hit him, and they didn't make the call, so the player does it again. Our physicality was more straight up, chest to chest, hit him with a forearm.
Right.
You know, and that's another – now that you got me on the soapbox, that's the other thing I don't like. You have players today, because there's no self-policing, guys take it to the edge because they know they don't have to worry about it back on the other end.
On the other end, right.
Because
if
you go back on the other end, you're going to be the one kicked out because they know, the officials know you're escalating something because this guy got away with it on the other end. So, the officiating, the NBA, and with those basketball guys in the front office, you know, it's like how do you not have more of a say in what's going on?
Would you also say, not to ask a leading question, that it was better when players could kind of police some of it themselves? Antonio Daniels sat here yesterday and said, I dunked on, I forget who, somebody, and he said, the next time I did it, and he showed us, he said, my wrist hasn't been the same since because he put me down. Was it better then when players could do that?
I think so. But I think I know this is tough, and this is the old guy talking in the room. I think there was a lot more respect among players.
Uh-huh.
Because I go down, I hit a guy. He goes, okay. I got you. He comes down and hits you, puts a forearm in your chest next time. You guys look at each other and go, okay, we're cool. We're good. I got you. There's none of that anymore. Guys, the players, they're all giving this too small. They're all mocking the players on the court. Because back in the day, that's a perfect example. You do that, next time you get cracked.
Yeah.
You go to the basket, you're getting cracked for making disrespecting the player. Hey, everybody gets dunked on. You're the best players in the world. Yeah. Everybody scores on everybody in this league. And you're going to give it too small, or you're going to give a pat on the head for dunking on something. It's like, come on, man, grow up.
Yeah,
Tim Good Demkin. Stuff, Tim.
Thank you very, very
You're
much.
The best. My guy. Good luck out here. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah,
appreciate
you're going to take it easy on us tonight, right?
Take it easy, right? Exactly. Tell Devin Booker we're only 20 tonight.
Yeah,
not 40. No, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
right
boy, he doesn't care for the new way.
No, that's how I feel. Like, and I'm glad we got him on the soapbox. It's gone too far. It's bully ball out there.
Yeah, what the Kings absolutely have to do tonight is next with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. I'm telling you. Feels like a special night here at the Golden One. Kings, of course, backs against the wall. As Mike Brown said, this is every game for the last couple weeks. It seems like you got to win, and you can move up a couple spots, or if you lose, you slide down a couple spots. But Kings right up against it now. Where will they be in the play-in? It just feels like maybe they're going to bring something special tonight. They'd better. Drapes is away for just a moment. He's got to help his got to get his family into the building. Of course. So, Jay, this gives you and I a chance to circle back to something that Isaiah Thomas said when he joined us from the floor, which is a first for our show earlier today. You had a problem with what his pizza choice, the pizza guy. When the pizza guy says something about pizza, sir, you know how much respect I have for you, but you don't question the pizza guy.
I got you. I understand that. I'm just saying, you know, we're in 2024, and there's a lot of different things that you can put on top of a pizza at this moment, right? And I get, you know, I'm not so far-fetched that we're going over the top and I don't need to put, you know, like I'm not a pineapple on pizza guy. So I'm not going to go that far. Like I don't need to be putting cans of fruit and all that type of stuff, you know, cotton candy and all these other things. Like you can go to Lake Tahoe and get gold flakes on your pizza at Round Table. Now, like, nah, I'm good. But just straight plain pepperoni? As my boy Drake would say, come on, big fella. You gotta get out the box, big fella.
Bro, all
you're in the box.
I could eat pepperoni pizza every day. That's
me too, but
maybe I'll throw some sausage, but pepperoni all day.
It was Jay's question. Jay's the one that wanted to ask the pizza guy, and we almost didn't get it in. And Isaiah Thomas said, straight pepperoni, right?
Yep.
Jay, and then you were on your way up, and Jay said, oh. We got to talk about
that.
Yeah.
Would you like anchovies and stuff like that?
See, now here you go. You insult my intelligence because I just said I'm not putting all fish in the sea and tuna and everything on my pizza.
He said no fish in the sea.
But I'm adding a little more meat to mine, fellas. I'm a meat eater. I like to go
sausage.
With it, man. Yeah, throw the sausage on there, Canadian bacon, get your pepperoni
I'm
flowing.
A sausage guy.
You know, so yeah, I'm a meat lover's guy, man. Give me that.
All right. Yeah. I don't only eat pepperoni, but if that's all I ever ate the rest of my life, pizza wise, I'd be okay with that.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would go cheese before I went.
What?
Some of the other stuff.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Like, you're being disrespectful.
No, I'm saying instead of fish in the sea. Like, I'm a Canadian bacon guy.
Okay.
I'm not a pineapple guy, but yeah, I'm a basic guy. You know, like, when you go to the. You know, the neighborhood pizza joints. They ain't got all that fancy stuff.
No,
you know?
They don't.
They got sausage, pepperoni, cheese.
I think I've had pizza that someone brought. Like, hey, we had this and brought it home. I think I've had pizza with pear on it.
Come on, man. They're getting too fancy.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't even eat
Gouda
that.
Gouda and pear.
Yeah, I'm not eating that, man.
It was brought home, and it's like, I didn't order. It's like, all right, I'll eat it. But I like it.
Give me the cheese, then.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Come on, man. You got to keep that to yourself. Keep that to yourself.
Oh, no, I'm proud of it. But it is true. Even places like Round Table, I like Round Table a lot. But you're like, you order anchovy, and they look at you funny. My wife and I were at, I think
you
it was
Bravo's.
You think
that anchovy's fresh?
I'm sure.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. We were at, there's this place in San Francisco, Bravo's Pizza. We were in college. And we sit down, and there's this huge woman, and she's sitting down, you know, she's making all the pizza. She sits down and says, what do you want? We said, oh, we want anchovies. She goes, no, you don't want it.
She said, nope.
Yeah.
Messing up your palate.
Yeah, man.
It's not for everybody, but it's good.
Yeah, it's, and I'm an old school foldable slice, too. You know what I mean? I
like that. I like that.
Are those like
and,
the big
and the grease comes
style?
Out the back.
It's origami on. You got to get your origami
on. Back of it on your arm. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. I like my pizza basic.
How about this? I have a friend who lived in Japan for a while, and he said they had crazy pizzas, including a pizza with squid and corn on it.
See, man, that's people trying to be extra, man. Why can't we just be simple? You know, why everybody got to be extra with it? Unbelievable.
So, Jay, you're saying pepperoni's okay, but you just need more meat on it.
Yeah,
so
I just need a little extra oomph to it. I mean, if I'm walking in and I'm spending my money, I'm going to throw a few more different, you know, ingredients on it, the ham and the sausage and all that type of stuff. But I hear what all three of you guys are saying. Look, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to spice my life up and put everything on top of my pizza. But, I mean, there are some better alternatives than just straight pepperoni.
Yeah, well, you're right. There's multiple kinds of pepperoni.
Right.
You get the bigger
salami.
Ones and then the little curly ones. And
yeah,
like,
yeah,
yes!
The little curly ones, right?
I think that was the first pizza my dad ever gave me, I think, was pepperoni pizza. So it's like, well,
yeah.
All right, I'm hooked.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that, yeah. Costco pepperoni pizza is pretty bomb.
Love it.
Too.
Is it?
Yeah, it's good.
Love it.
Costco pizza
yeah.
ain't no joke.
Is that a Kirkland pizza?
It is. I
Everything
feel like
is Kirkland, man. Everything is Kirkland. That's their signature brand, Kirkland pizza. And they got the frozen kind, too. I haven't tried that yet, but I'm sure it's pretty good, man.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thanks again for getting Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been working on that for a long, long time. As for tonight, are you with me on this? What the Kings have to do tonight. They got to come out. Of course, and they got to play with their backs against the wall, maybe Definitely. Touch somebody up. And especially now because,
ooh,
like Tim Kempton said,
up.
They might not even call it.
Nah, Whitey, that ship has sailed. And I was thinking about this driving in because we always talk, oh, you got to be physical.
See, I thought you'd be with me on this.
No, I'm resigned to the fact that's not who we are. That's the problem. I'm resigned to the fact that's not who we are, you know? And so – I'm okay with that. Like, I need them to just execute at a high level.
Uh-huh.
I need them to bring their A-game execution. Who are you going to touch up? Kevin Durant? Devin Booker?
Now, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant.
Now, I'm okay with responding if those two, if Nurkic starts talking some trash or something. But I don't think, you know, it reminds me of LeBron when he first went to the Miami Heat. And he tried to play the role of villain.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out. So don't be something you're not.
Well, I don't think if Trey Lyles is down there and Durant, somebody comes soaring in, you know, and Trey Lyles just touches him up a little bit, gives him a hard foul, I don't think that's out of character for the Kings tonight.
You don't think so?
No, depending on the circumstance.
Like somebody coming in to paint.
Yeah.
Because it's a playoff kind of game tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. But don't let it get you out of what you do.
Well, that's a great
point. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah.
You're so busy trying to send a message about physicality and all this, then you forget to be who you are.
Domas doesn't really do that, does he?
No, he doesn't. He just plays physical.
Alex Len will do it.
Alex Len might, yeah. Alex, Trey Lyles,
former Phoenix
Sun,
revenge game.
Revenge game. Trey Lyles, like you said, as well. But I feel like our guys got to be, you know, pushed that way. Like, you know, we aren't the instigators usually. Usually we respond if somebody takes it to that level.
I do feel that tonight, like last night, to me it's more about executing than emotion. You have to bring the necessary level of intensity. That's a given, as we said. But you have to, when you're shorthanded, you have to execute. You're not going to win by, you are going to win if you take care of the ball and make your shots and run your offense.
Right. It sort of reminds me, and I said this back when we played Dallas, LeBron, Game 6, 2012 against the Celtics. No smiling, no high-fiving, no feeling good or anything. Like, it's a work trip. Come out there with the appropriate amount of focus. Like, you're about your business. I think it's a mentality, the body language I want to see,
and
that kind of thing.
Yeah, pardon me. I think the Kings need – this isn't really something you can plan for, but they need somebody to go off tonight, somebody to have a big night where, you know – somebody's scoring 30 and the fans are getting into it, like Keegan having a big night, something where the fans are really getting behind it, so that you give the fans who've already been doing more than can be expected of them, give them a chance to give this team a lift.
Yes. I'm with you, man. And, you know, here's the thing. We know I feel comfortable in Domas and De'Aaron Fox tonight. I feel comfortable.
Yes.
To your point, It would be nice if Keegan comes out.
Yeah.
He's warming up right now. Comes out, drops 28 tonight.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I thought Harrison Barnes last night tried his best.
Yep.
He tried to
see
that.
He had a really good game.
Right, exactly.
I tried to tell you, yes.
Exactly. You know what we need, too, Whitey? We need a game where everybody's clicking.
That would,
you know,
yes.
That like that's what I don't want to look at Mike Brown and see him looking down the bench trying to figure out who should I put in now.
Well, he was unhappy with Keon last night at one point.
Oh,
wasn't
he was. He
yeah,
was.
Yeah.
He's like, Keon.
And he must have missed a rotation or something.
Yeah.
Then Barbosa was talking to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mike doesn't play. And that's when he's going to get mad at you, right? Outside of, you know, not taking shots. But if you have a defensive miscue or a defensive lapse or something, he's going to call you out on that.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've had so many great guests on today. I mean, I'm hoping we can get – have you heard of Henry Turner?
He right. No wonder. It was all nice and sunny, and then High Flyer came up. It's like a big gloomy shadow over me. Like, you know, ominous music and everything. He coming in trying to Debo us.
Ominous. Bet you HT like meat lovers.
Oh, we'll find that out.
Yeah.
We'll find that out.
Hopefully we're hanging with the High Flyers. We wrap things up from the Golden One next year. Drive, guys, on this special Friday. Too much show, not enough time. High Flyer joining us here, and he's got word of a special guest he's going to have on game night. First, Jay says we got to bring on the one and only TC. TC joins us on Sacktown Sports. It's time. Check it with TC. What's up, TC?
Yes, sir. Check it, check it, check it. Man, Jay, my boy Drake and Whitey, what's going on?
And the High Flyers with you as well, TC.
Oh, hey, you know what? Hey, my bad, High Flyer. What's up, bro?
All good, bro.
Hey, check it out. Hey, check it out. Hey, look, this is what I got with the Kings. Hey, as far as Kings fans, media, everybody, listen, we got to get it how we got to get it. We put ourselves in this position, so we got to get it out the mud. Check it out. We got to go with the plan and make big noise. Hey, that's ridiculous, man, as far as all the Kings fans and everybody trying to turn their back. Look, it could be worse than it is right now. I'm going to tell y'all, check this out. We could be in the 12th or the 13th seed talking about, man, I wish we could have a game. I wish we could have a play-in game. Listen, man, this is the second full year of this rebuild. Mike ain't going nowhere. Monty ain't going nowhere. What we can say is moves have to be made this summer. And we'll find that out after this playoffs. And we know what type of moves we have to make. As far as moves, yes, they have to be made. As far as people being fired, ain't nobody being fired, bro. Them dudes turn this organization around, man, and set us up on our, hey, listen, on our 10 toes. So we got to respect that as Kings fans, man. Y'all leave Drake alone, man. Drake was a sack king, bro, period. Drake ain't got nothing to do with none of that. If you a real Kings fan and you've been through all this, I can't talk about the OGs, y'all, Henry, Whitey, look, y'all older, y'all, listen, y'all been doing this, y'all been around, but check it out. As far as Kings fans, bro, respect what's going on, dog. It's going to get better. I know it's been shaky, but it's going to get better, dog. Domas, be dominant. Fox, be dominant. We're going to get it out the mud, y'all. That's all I got. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right, guy, TC, you hear what I'm saying, High Flyer? Everybody all negative and everything. Nah,
yeah.
Man, our boys ain't going nowhere.
Let's go, Sacramento.
I love it. I love the optimism. I'm with it. But, you know, we can preach. We can rally the troops. We can do all of that. And we do. But it's all about those guys in between the lines.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
How bad do they want it? You know, watching them come out yesterday, the beginning of the game, I was shocked.
Mike Brown said that was a one time when they didn't really
I was shocked.
What happened there? Did the Pelicans punch him?
KD, I was shocked, bro. I mean, it was from the beginning. Mm. I would have thought, you know, desperation would have been there from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, they came out like it was just another game.
Yeah.
And it's not. I'm sorry. These games are not regular season games. At this particular point, they're not. You need to be in playoff mode right now.
Yeah.
You need to be in eye of the tiger mode right now.
I agree with you, man. And Kevin Garnett said that too. He tweeted that out. God, these are playoff games we're talking about. Does it concern you the Mavericks games last night, all these big games? And I feel like time and time again, we're saying they didn't get up or they felt like it was one of 82. Is that concerning? Like, is that a problem that needs to be addressed going forward with this team and with this roster?
If you're trying to make that next play,
yes,
all of that needs to be addressed, because, KD, it's going to take all of that to get you to where you need to go. Think about who we playing against. We don't have a big three, bro.
Right.
We don't have that. We don't have, you know, four first ballot Hall of Famers. Mm. You know, we don't have a two-time, probably going to be three-time MVP. We don't have that. We don't have a four-time championship squad. We don't have that either. So we have to give extra, and everything that we give extra has to come from the heart.
Right.
Speaking of that caliber of player, who do you guys have on joining you here on game night tonight?
Oh, man, the one and only. Mm. You know what? I say this, and I truly mean it, but, you know, it was before him, but I always say Sacramento Kings basketball, as the purists know it, it's ended and it started with this one dude.
Yeah.
And that's the pretty face, pretty smiling, number four, Chris Webber.
C-Web, coming up.
Sacramento Kings basketball, as we know it. As all the fans love this purple, it started with C-Web and it ended with C-Web.
Let me ask you this. Take me back then. You guys were around. What was the franchise like beforehand? What was the level of success? You know, were they battling for playoffs? And what did C-Web bring that made a change?
My last year here was our first year we made it to the playoffs. We made it against Seattle. Mm. And that was our first breakthrough
96,
ever.
Right?
Yeah, that was our first 95-96. That was our first breakthrough ever. And Mitch Richmond broke his back getting us there.
Yeah.
I mean, we rode Mitch like old farm mule. You know, he got us there. And then I left that next year. And then, you know, Mitch Richmond turned into Chris Webber.
Right. Yep.
You know, and it's funny how all of that came together, because – at the very beginning, KD, Chris didn't want to be here. Chris did not want to come to Sacramento.
I think of that every time I fly into Sac Metro. I think of Chris or Sac International. Chris Webber supposedly seeing all the fields, and he was very emotional as he flew in to Sacramento. Like, I don't want to be here.
He didn't want to be here, but he came here. Man, this was the best thing that happened to Chris, because, you know, he had a bunch of things to go on in Golden State. He had a bunch of stuff go on in Washington. And, you know, a lot of people had questioned, you know, what was Chris Webber going to be? Mm. You know, is he going to be a Hall of Fame guy, or is he going to be a guy that's going to be a troublesome type cat? And he came here, bro, and turned everything around. I honestly think that once Chris Webber got here, he seen what was going on, felt this city, felt this community, and said, you know what, I can make a difference here. And he did, man. I mean, he really did. Between him and that white chocolate, man, I'm telling you.
And I know he wasn't as good, but Vlade, too, because the thing is, we saw this team here, and it took them a while to get going in that strike-shortened year, lockout-shortened year. They, not only were they a good team, but they passed the ball so well. It was beautiful to watch. It's like, man, they're good, and they're really fun to watch.
That's the thing. It was like, you know, Webb came, and then Jason came, and then I want to say probably like Vlade came.
It was all the same year. Yeah.
Peja had got drafted. He had came through the door. And, you know, they had a couple of other guys, you know.
They brought in John Barry and Vernon Maxwell. Maybe one of these guys would be good, and they were both good.
Jimmy Jackson was around that particular time. I mean, just to watch these guys, oh, man, it was nice. I mean, it was fun. You know, Big Nasty was on the squad.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it was fun to watch. You know, before, you know, it was just basketball. When I was on the squad, it was just, okay, we got a hard-working team.
Oh,
you
know, real blue collar. Rudy and those guys.
We are blue collar. We have to work hard to win. When Webb and those other guys came, they were blue collar, but they had flash. They had flair.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Webber brought that Michigan to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Everything that the Fab Five had, Webb brought it in the door.
Yeah, you guys are going to talk to Chris Webber coming up at the top of the hour. C-Web in town all this weekend. You know, when you look at those great Kings teams, we could talk about Webber, we could talk about Vlade, Peja, but the sum of the parts was greater than the individuals. They were all great, but they all fit together. What's this team missing that we're watching now? Our Sacramento Kings, How do they get form like Voltron, if you will, and achieve something greater than the sum of the individual parts?
Well, first of all, here's the deal, KD. Everybody on that 2000 team knew their role. Nobody played outside of their role. You know, we knew that Doug Christie was the point guard. Mike Bibby never did play point. Mike Bibby was always off the ball. Doug Christie handled the ball.
And Weber, the
more than anything
ran
else.
Through Weber a lot, too.
And it went through Webb a lot, too. And then when it didn't go through Webb, it went through Brad Miller.
Yeah.
You know, Pager, they set up Pager so good. And Pager and Doug's chemistry, man, was just like uncannily, right? And then Weber and Vlade played very well together,
the
right?
Interior
so,
pass.
So that was the starting five.
And then a guy like Pollard, and he had a limited role, and he was fine with it.
Scott Pollard knew what he had to do. Scott Pollard came in and brought wood. That's what he did. He came in, and he fouled guys. He fouled the hell out of them. That was his job. You know, and then when you – hey, when you brought Bobby Jackson in off the bench,
yeah.
Hey, they knew B-Jack was coming in to be Vinny Microwave number two to light it up. You know, Darius Singala.
Singala, oh, man. I mean,
hey, they had guys who knew their roles, and they came in, and they played extremely well. At that particular point, the Sacramento Kings bench played well as anybody starting five.
Yeah, the bench mob, the original bench mob.
Right.
So High Flyer has C-Web coming up right here on Sacktown Sports. And then you guys also have C-Web.
Yeah, we got
right?
C-Web at 7 o'clock on the Kings pregame live on the TV version.
All right.
Up on NBC, yeah.
Drapes, thanks for lining us up with Isaiah Thomas. That was unforgettable.
At IT.
Yeah.
Now you chopped it up with IT.
IT is my dude, man. Hey, I was riding with IT when IT didn't even think he was going to make the squad. I'm like, young fella, keep grinding. He was like, man, that's the only thing I know how to do. He was the last pick of the draft.
Yeah.
And he came here, man, and nobody thought that dude was going to make it. And, man, he's the poster child of, you know what, you don't have to be a giant to play this game. You just have to have the heart of play.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Enjoy the game tonight. Absolutely. Yeah, stick around for game night with Chris Webber next right here on Sacktown Sports.